Haines government officials and the Chamber of Commerce are working on a property tax incentive policy, and citizen concerns lead a Haines committee to consider ways of bolstering public information. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Haines Borough Assembly members and the Chamber of Commerce are working on a property tax incentive policy. The hope is that it would encourage business and job growth by giving tax breaks to certain businesses in some areas of Haines that are in need of economic development. The tax incentive discussion started in 2014 when the Haines Brewing Company was negotiating with the borough to purchase land for its new location. The assembly decided at the time that there needed to be a policy in place. That way, the borough wouldn't be deciding on a case-by-case basis which businesses qualify for property tax breaks. In September, the new brewery on Main Street opened, but the borough still did not have a property tax exemption policy. Deborah Schnabel was on the assembly when the goal of a policy came up, and now she's the Chamber of Commerce director. Here's Schnabel speaking to brewery owners Paul Wheeler and Jeannie Kitayama at Tuesday's meeting.
I think that generally speaking, the assembly provided that your situation was somewhat unique in the sense that you activated this policy and it's taken our, we're the ones at fault for taking this long to develop the policy.
Schnabel is working with the assembly's Commerce Committee to rectify that by creating an official policy. It's still going through changes, and the final rules will be up to the assembly. But here are the broad strokes of where it stands now. Businesses that are building on vacant land or renovating a deteriorating property could qualify. Construction or renovation totaling at least $100,000 would qualify. The exemptions follow a regressive 3-year schedule. The first year, businesses get a 50% property tax break. The second year, 30%. The third year, 20%. Those details could change as the policy works its way through the committee and assembly. It also needs to conform to state statute. Schnabel asked the committee whether they thought $100,000 was too low a bar to qualify for the exemption.
I mean, $100,000 at 10 mils is like $1,000, so you're only talking about giving somebody a $500, you know, waiver, big whoop-de-doo. I mean, that's hardly even significant to even incentivize anything.
Committee member Margaret Friedenauer said maybe the exemption wouldn't incentivize that kind of investment, but it wouldn't hurt to keep the qualification at $100,000.
I see what you're saying, like, well, who's going to use that as an incentive? Well, maybe they won't, but at least it's $100,000 of investment towards something. And if they don't want it, they don't have to take it. But the bigger investment you get, the bigger of a tax break you get anyway, and we're covering all our bases and treating everyone equal.
There was also some debate about the geographical areas that should get an additional tax break. Downtown Haines is one of them, but committee member George Campbell thought the boundaries should be as wide as possible when defining downtown. Here he is with Schnabel responding.
Having this arbitrary line in our business district, if you really look at it, you know, one of our auto parts, our fuel stations and stuff are just, you know, 100 yards outside there. Do we want to see that area develop? Do we want to see incentives to develop that area? Why not?
Because creating commercial districts is one of the purposes of this ordinance. Creating a long line of commercial properties on a state highway is not creating a downtown commercial district. It's contrary to that.
Friedenauer referred to something she says Chamber Board President Kyle Gray said to her.
Purpose of a policy like this is to change behavior. To change behavior to revitalize, develop a specific area. If your goal is to just create jobs in the borough, that this isn't how you go about it. We have to look very closely at what is the purpose of offering a tax exemption program like this.
The committee will continue to look closely at the policy at a meeting next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Thank you. A Haynesboro Assembly Committee is recommending adjustments to the way committees put out information about their discussions and decisions. The changes were prompted by citizen concerns about inconsistent public information. About a dozen borough and standing committees delve into and make recommendations about everything from tourism to land development. What Dana Hallett is concerned about is whether those committees give enough information to the public before and after each meeting.
This inconsistency has led to what I think is sloppy democracy.
Hallett evaluated what information four standing committees put out prior to and after meetings. He found that the Public Safety Commission, Tourism Advisory Board, Port and Harbor Advisory Committee, and Parks and Recreation Committee were lacking in some ways. For example, sometimes they would put out a notice for a meeting without including any information about what topics would be discussed. And some committees would take months to pass on meeting minutes to the borough clerk and assembly.
Our charter states that people have the right to, quote, access a well-maintained public record of all actions of public officials in accordance with this charter, so that the citizens of the borough may retain control over the affairs of their government.
Hallett presented his case to the Assembly's Government Affairs and Services Committee, which Ron Jackson, Diana Lapham, and Tresham Gregg serve on. After some discussion about what they felt was lacking in the committee process, they made four motions to bolster public information. Lapham suggested committee chairs send out a summary of what happened at a meeting right after it ends. That way, people could get information right away, instead of waiting weeks or months for minutes to make their way to the borough clerk and assembly.
It would complement the action minutes that are usually right there anyway, but it would summarize and help explain the action.
They also voted for another change that would give more detail to action minutes. For committees to supplement their action minutes with explanations of rationale. That means instead of just saying this was the vote, the minutes would include the reasoning for it. The third vote was to do away with the habit of saying "so moved" when a committee member makes a motion. Hallett said at a recent Planning Commission meeting, the staff member taking minutes misinterpreted a motion because the person who made it said "so moved" instead of stating it fully. The final recommendation was about reconciling code. In borough code pertaining to committees, it says minutes shall be submitted to the borough clerk within 2 weeks. But in code governing specific committees, the wording is vague. Here's Jackson.
I would like to move that we direct staff to resolve the ambiguity.
Resident Mike Danker said he thinks when committees follow a more rigorous process, it holds members accountable.
When you take these to new levels, when you have these regular agendas posted, and when they're writing their motions out, when they all take the job more serious. It's like, this is a big responsibility. When it's just loosey-goosey, you kind of have a tendency to, it's not that big of a deal.
The four recommendations aimed at improving committee process will go to the Borough Assembly for approval. The International Pacific Halibut Commission Friday approved an increase in halibut catch limits for most of the coast. The joint U.S. and Canada body oversees management of the prized bottom fish from California to Alaska. The commission held its annual meeting in Juneau this week. Commissioners approved a coastwide catch of just under 30 million pounds for 2016. That's an increase of 2.2% from last year's limits. Commissioner Chair Jim Balsiger of Juneau said the decisions were not easy to make.
But all in all, I think it was a really good meeting. The first time in the last few years that things are relatively optimistic in the stock. The first time in the last few years that we've seen a fairly significant decrease in bycatch.
In Area 2C, Southeast Alaska, the commission approved a combined commercial and charter catch of 4.95 million pounds, an increase of 6% from last year. For most of the coast, commissioners approved a season start date of March 19th and end date of November 7th. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.